Vic Porcelli.
The one and only Karen Catalina.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word for mished. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
Finally, folks, next week, Jews everywhere will be celebrating the holiday of Yom Kippur. Or as non-Jews refer to it, Wednesday.
Yeah, that's what we do. We just call Wednesday. First of all, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Good morning, Karen Kettling. How was Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah was very good. That's the Jewish New Year.
So what year are we in now?
We eat apples and honey, so you should have a sweet New Year.
That's the apples and honey holiday.
Yeah. We always have food associated to holidays unless we're fasting.
And I don't eat it to celebrate, Karen, but I love apples and honey.
You're such a kiss ass.
Oh, my God. No, I just do. I'm just telling you.
I love it.
What year are we in now?
5786.
So are you still writing 5785 on your checks?
Exactly. It's hard to imagine. Isn't it like boggle the mind? 5786.
It's a lot of years. It's an awful lot of years.
And I just read this. I just saw this video. I've been watching lots of these videos. Oh, my God. And one said, oh, they keep saying we get kicked out of places all over the world, those horrible Jews. And the guy said, but we're 5,700 years old. We were there first.
Right. We're the ones who were the newcomers.
Now, according to the Gazans, you guys have only been here since 47. So.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so many lies, so little time.
Did you have fun? Did you have lots of apples and honey and eat and
didn't have a lot
drink
of,
and stuff?
You're supposed to go to shul. And this is the whole thing of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Known as the High Holidays, also known as the Days of Awe. So this is the time in which you're supposed to be very self-reflective. And since we tend to be somewhat efficient, we do all of our atoning, you know, on one day. Yeah. Not that we don't do it throughout the year, but we have one day for it. It's called Yom Kippur. So that's when we fast. And, you know, and like a lot of Jews, I do some things. I don't do other things. Uh-huh. But I am learning. I'm on a journey, and that's about all you can expect of anybody in a, you know, on faith.
I know on Passover, you guys sit and read for 2 hours. 2 hours.
Well, we tell the story of the Exodus, which apparently George Washington and some of our founders were actually inspired by.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've always wished that the 4th of July had something like a Seder, where we could tell the story of the freedom and the founding of the United States of America. Maybe for the 250th, we'll do something like that, because that's how we've passed that story down from generation to generation.
See, as Italians, we have stories, right? We have stories.
Oh, yeah. You have lots of
when
stories.
When we're eating, you know, this guy came up to me the other day, goes, boy, you're getting fat. I hit him in the head with a baseball bat.
Yeah, I've been reading also about the affinity that Italians and Jews have always had for each other. It's something quite palpable.
Yes, and I'll say it again. It Tony Soprano just says Italians are Jews with better food.
I'll have to think of a retort for that.
Nah, just eat. Eat.
Jews are just Italians. No, they're not.
Eat, Mary. Your skin and bones.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that we have.
So, can you explain this to me? Why are you laughing at me?
Because I know what you're going to say. Go for it. Go for it.
The mask mandate for the whole world? What in the hell?
That's just one of about 6 that I wanted to do because out of respect for Rosh Hashanah, I didn't want to do it yesterday.
Oh.
But I watched this Violet Affleck I used it as an example of psychotic projection. You know, this is when projection has become truly psychotic. Donald Trump is still being called incessantly dictator. He's a Hitler. He's a dictator by these zombie Democrat death cult people that produced a Violet Affleck who just used, I wrote on Twitter, her nepotistic fame of which he was handed, you know, to call for mask mandates all around the world right now, 6 years after COVID. And once again, so she's standing there, she's talking to the UN with her mask on, and it doesn't occur to her that this could be dictatorial.
Right. No kidding.
That it didn't work.
Right.
That it didn't work, that it forced people. The fear mongering, she clearly, I'll tell you, I don't always agree with Kat Timpf, but we do like to watch Gutfeld. And she was quite compassionate towards our little Violet, our little shrinking Violet, who said, you know, she was born and come, you know, grade school. She's what? Not very old. In which she was totally fear mongered about this virus. And she's there sitting there. 6 years later, a lot of people were broken by this. This was an atrocity for the way they took over the world with fear, and they still won't come clean. So, you know, we have a lot of accounting to do. That's what atonement is. It's not just you make a New Year's resolution. I'm bringing in the Jewish thing. I'm sorry. You make a New Year's resolution and the next year you do another one. No, Yom Kippur is the time in which we look back and see how well we did. And did we keep our promises? And can we be absolved for those that we fell short of? In this case, there's an awful lot of accounting that Donald Trump is doing and needs to do for the rest of us.
I just want to make sure I got all this right. So Violet Affleck, who, I'm sorry, Affleck.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when I
could have done that.
Violet Affleck.
When Gilbert Gottfried got fired, I could have done it. Anyway, she is Ben Affleck's daughter. And what is she trying to say? She's been through her tough life. Is that what she's going to say? She grew up in the mean streets of Hollywood?
No, she's terrified that little children are suffering from long COVID because the world isn't masked. That's what she's saying. These children experimental shots when they were not at risk of COVID. They were the least likely to get it in the first place. And now so-called long COVID, which they're still using to scare people, is the flu. Sorry, did I yell too loud?
That's okay. It only fed back a little bit. That's okay. So I guess my question is, how do you get asked to speak at the United Nations?
Because your Jennifer, whatever her name is daughter and Ben Affleck's daughter. That's the only reason.
You have to be on the left,
I could write him a letter and say, excuse me, I would like to address the UN General Assembly.
And they just say yes?
Right. And you know what? They welcome that message, and they don't stop your escalator either.
Right. No kidding. Well, before we get to the escalator, can you do me a favor? I want you to call the UN.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell them I want to speak there next year. Tell them I'm a great big liberal.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to speak at the UN, because if anybody can do it, I want to do it.
Well, the bigger the liberal you are, the better your chance.
The easier it is, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, let's get back to the escalator. Now, it wasn't anybody who works at the UN. It was one of Trump's staff that stopped the elevator.
That's such crap.
And who's asserting that today?
Well, the UN, I guess.
Oh, right. Oh, and turning down his microphone and stopping his teleprompter, which only made it better, because if there's ever anybody who could do that without a teleprompter, it's Donald Trump. He even made a joke. The whole thing is so stupid. You know damn well that they try to sabotage him. And, you know, the more defensive they are, the more obvious it becomes. I hate to do this. Can I just get in one other thing that really doesn't have to do with this?
Yeah. We're right ahead.
Terribly.
Screw up the whole interview. Screw up the whole show.
Sorry.
I'm kidding.
I came with many points, but this one, I just want to get it in because I watched these same Democrat death cult zombies protesting Erica Kirk. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Did you see that?
Did you see it?
I mean, talk about being obvious as a death cult, as evil. Apparently, there are a whole bunch of, there's still a large swath of the left that didn't get the memo that they're supposed to hide their evil inclinations for now. And I'm glad because it's just making the difference between good and evil more clear than ever. When I saw that, I wasn't stunned. I wasn't surprised. I was shocked that they're that dumb and that oblivious to life as we know it. And you know what? As perverse as it is, we should be grateful that they're that stupid.
Karen, I totally agree with that because my...
I got that off my chest.
You got it.
No, I'm glad you did, Karen, because I believe, and I think the most important thing here is that Americans are beginning to see it on both sides of the aisle. I've got family members who are left-leaning, and they're even asking questions like, are they really doing this to Erica Kirk and people like that? And I'm like, just read about it. It's all true, and it's the Democrat Party. It's the people who condone all the violence.
This is not... I told you so. But I think it's important because we have been strengthened by this horrible, horrible tragedy. It's not saying I told you so to say, excuse me, my beloved family member, this is who they always were.
Yep.
And if you take a courageous step to question this and to speak out against it, you will be treated the same way we have been treated for the last, 10 years? Okay?
Yep.
Just take a risk and argue and disagree with these people that Charlie Kirk was not the person they're painting him to be when he cannot defend himself and fight back. We all know what volumes of video showing who this man is and was. And so I think we have to take them by the hand, but firmly, and say, this is who they always were. We just saw it quicker, and we just watched how they treated our friends and us while they were accusing everybody else now of being the dictators they were then.
Yeah, you're right. All right. So first, just a couple more things. First thing, I wonder if Erica Kirk, if it hurt when she fell from heaven. Do you think it hurt when she fell from heaven? That's a long...
What are you talking about?
She's an angel. She's an angel. See, angels, heaven.
Sorry, not Jewy enough. Write some Jewy jokes for her.
It does not have to be Jewish. I'm sorry my brain didn't quite comprehend that.
That's actually a great line. If you see somebody, you know, in a bar or something that you like, say, hey, honey, did it hurt when you fell from heaven?
No. It sounded like a line. I apologize.
That would be...
Can we, at some point in the future, not today, not anytime soon, and it's a huge subject, I would love to tackle, bit, you know, at some point, forgiveness. It's an issue that has fascinated me for a very long time. And I'll just say this. I don't think people really know what they mean, or there's any uniform idea of what people mean when they say it. Yeah. And if, frankly, if we're having enough trouble trying to define clearly for the radical insane left what freedom of speech is, we're going to have a hard time, you know, trying to explain to them with clarity what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It's a complicated issue. And it just is one of those things that interests me. And one day I'll give you even a book that's really even more complicated called The Sunflower, which we could talk about some other time. Well, I give it away to people. It's called The Sunflower.
I believe on the left, there are people actually believe that when you're forgiven now because they saw Erica Kirk do it, that it's a pass.
Right.
So you can continue your activity.
Oh, boy, what a great point,
but it's a
Kat.
Pass.
That's a great point.
And they're so wrong. They're completely wrong.
You are so good.
He is good. He's all right. He's not great. No, Karen.
All right, listen, one last thing before we go. Were you a big Seinfeld fan? Did you watch Seinfeld?
Oh, yes.
So do you remember Banya, the stand-up comedian that Jerry and him were always yelling at each other? Do you remember Banya?
Don't know the character name, but I probably would remember. Go ahead. I think I heard something like that opening.
Well, here's one.
Why do they call it Ovaltine? Oh. The mug is round. The jar is round. They should call it Roundtine. That's gold, Jerry. Gold!
So Stephen Heitner, who played Banya, is coming in later today. 11. He's going to be in.
Oh, wonderful! Room. That ain't even silver. That one. That's not. That's not even paper.
Right.
That's a terrible joke.
So I only did that. I'm sorry, Ken. I just have one more quick story.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah.
It's my fault. It's your fault.
No, it is my fault.
No.
My fault.
So my house sometimes is like a Seinfeld episode, and more so when my son was living at home. Mm-hmm. At my house, if my wife gives you a hug, and then she'll give you like just a couple quick pats on the back, just a few pats on the back. And if you don't get that pat, there's something wrong, you know? That's like a lovingly, everything's fine, I love you, pat. So my son and I made a Seinfeld episode out of it. When you hug my wife, did you get the pat? Oh, I got the pat, Jerry. I didn't get the pat. I got the pat.
That's great. That's wonderful.
All right, so what's your schedule now with this Yom Kippur thing? Is it the whole week?
No, it's just Thursday.
So you'll be here Monday.
It's one day. I'll be here. I'll be with you Monday. I won't be Thursday next week.
Right. You guys get it done in a day. That's not like you, right?
We're very efficient. Very efficient.
Karen, we love you to death, baby.
Love you too, honey.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye, Karen.
I didn't get the pat.